We just finished up our series in 1 Timothy, and we'll be moving on. But wrong one. Let's try this one. Okay. 1 Timothy, the major theme was to guard the gospel. We unpacked that a little bit, and we saw that it means keep your focus on Christ. Some great songs, worship team that helped us do that to in song. And when you focus on Christ, you expose the false teachers. And there were several different types of false teachers there in Ephesus where Timothy is being exhorted to pastor that flock. But when you focus on Christ and you guard the gospel, you also pray for the gospel advance. You pray for everybody, but in particularly those who are in authority. You appoint gospel leaders, how important it is to appoint elders who will help pastor the flock, who are godly people, who are Christ-centered people. But you show gospel honor to everyone. So whether you're old or young, all of us are the household of faith, but especially those who are widows and those who minister to us the word of God, we are to honor them. And finally, as we guard the gospel, we're to seek true gain. Don't get your hearts chasing after money, but chase after that which endures forever, is godliness with contentment. And that was 1 Timothy. Now, during writing 1 Timothy, Paul was a free man, but 2 Timothy, things have changed a bit. And this is Rembrandt's rendition of Paul's last imprisonment before he is executed. So when he's writing Timothy, this letter, the second one, it's about 4 years later. It's going to be much more emotional, much more intense, much more personal. And he's actually going to ask Timothy, please come see me before winter. I might not be here by winter, if you can make it. And we're going to look at that chapter by chapter. This is the prison, the Mamertinum prison in Rome. Has anyone been there? You guys have. Okay. So this is where Paul spent his last days, according to certain historians. And the prison was really, you hear about being put in the hole. Well, that's where Paul was. He was put in a hole. And here's from down below. This person's looking up, and that's where Paul was lowered down into the pit. And that's where, if you wanted to go see him, you had to be lowered down to see him. So it's not easy to find. This will play out in some of the passage we'll be looking at today. He was there. We don't know quite sure how long he was arrested and imprisoned, but then he was executed through beheading by Nero. Nero had one of the most ruthless rules. But it wasn't only Paul he beheaded. He beheaded many people, had many Christians killed. But he also killed two of his wives and his own mother. He executed them. And in all fairness, he cut his own throat in suicide. Just a little bit of the historical background. And Paul knows all this stuff happening around. And he writes this letter to his friend, his dear friend, Timothy. So as we look at sincere faith, is what I've entitled today's sermon. And, too fast. I'm going to ask you to help me read this. It's the first chapter of 2 Timothy, and you'll see it's marked on your green sheet, if you have it, men and women. If you don't have one of these green sheets, you can follow along on the PowerPoint. Blue is boys, and sort of red is the girls, okay? All right, so men, let's get it started, okay? Paul. Promise of life. Okay, now I know who stayed up last night, all right? The real football is tonight, guys. But you must be golfers, you PGA people. Okay, let's give it another shout. And I could read this very loud, but I want you to do it. Okay, men? All right, we ready? So men are the blue, and then the women are going to be the next bit. Okay, go, guys. Let's do it. Paul, an apostle. That's not bad. Okay. Ladies?
I thank God, O my sister, as did my ancestors.
Therefore, man, let's go. Do not be ashamed. But share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. Oops. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from you, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Thank you for your help. So, 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at sincere faith. And the word translated there, sincere faith, from the Greek, means a faith that does not pretend. If you grew up with a King James version, it called it an unfeigned faith, U-N-F-E-I-G-N-E-D. That's a word we don't even hardly ever use, but it means it's not fake. It's as Evelyn put it on our bulletin, shows that authentic. It's authentic. It's a sincere faith, but it is it's a negative in the Greek, saying it's a faith that does not pretend. This clicker is not doing it on the first one. Okay, so I got this from verse 5. It says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. So that's where we're going to be looking, actually, through this. Before I get to the lens of a sincere faith, I just want to give you the context of chapter 1 here. I'm not going to go through this as a sermon, but I think you'll see as I unfold it, the sincere faith, it fits in this context. There's a greetings. Paul says hello, and he does it a special way. And then he tells about his love for Timothy, his affections for him. And then he exhorts him to do three things. Fan into flame the gift of God. Do not be ashamed. Guard the good deposit. And we'll look at all of this, but through the lens of sincere faith. And that's what the lens of sincere faith looks like. Okay. All right. Sincere faith is Christ-centered. Verse 1 and 2. And Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Christ means the anointed one, the one whom everyone had been waiting for through all the ages of Israel. From the appointment of King David, King Saul, King David, King Solomon, all those kings were a precursor to whose coming? The Messiah. The one who is going to save the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That is the Messiah. That is the Christ. And that is whom we preach. We don't talk about anything about this is what you do in order to become a good person so God will love you. No, all we're to do is to repent. We're to repent instead of living life my way, I'm going to live life God's way. And that way is I believe in His Son whom He sent, who died for me, whose blood was shed for me so that now I can become a friend with God because I could never be good enough. There's no way I could stand up to the holiness of the Almighty God. But Christ, being God in the flesh, has done that. And so, sincere faith places faith in a person. the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Look at that a different way is grace, mercy, and peace. The promise of the life that is in Christ. You're everything to me, you're all I need, we just sang. What you and I need is grace, mercy, and peace. Grace is what we get, what we don't deserve. Mercy is when we get something grace is what when we get what we don't deserve. Mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. We deserve to be punished. But somehow we think we're all good people and we just deserve heaven automatically and God owes us a great life. No, he doesn't. We're in rebellion. Even when we try our best, we're not loving towards other people. We're not thoughtful of other people. But God extends mercy to us when we're helpless. God extends grace to us. He gives us eternal life through faith in his Son. And he gives us peace. You and I were made to be in relationship with God the Almighty. And the only way we can come into contact and relate to him is through Jesus Christ, his Son. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. Now, we can try to fill that what we've been made for with all kinds of life satisfaction, pleasure, money, you name it. Possessions, whatever, relationships with different people, even family can become our little God. But you know, it will never give you satisfaction. It will never give you peace because you and I have been created in his image to relate to him, to be God's friend. So sincere faith is Christ-centered. Sincere faith is grateful. And I thank God. I thank God whom I serve as did my father and mother and my grandparents, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. It's grateful. It's grateful for people. Now, if we're honest, you know, I might pray in the morning, I might pray at night, but you know, I pray twice a day. And when I pray twice a day, I might pray more than twice a day, I may pray a lot, but usually I'm asking, oh God, I'm in trouble now, can you help me? You know, what am I going to do with this client, what am I going to do with it? You know, maybe you pray like that, but he's giving thanks for Timothy. Sincere faith is grateful to God for people of faith. Yeah, there are people, I know I've been exhorted by this one fellow who I follow a lot of his discipleship materials, and he exhorts me to have a prayer list for friends to come to faith. But Paul is showing us his lifestyle included prayer for giving thanks for those who are people of faith, sincere faith. So I don't know who's on your prayer list. Well, pray for those who don't know Christ yet. I think we should. But also be grateful to your close friends who have faith. Sincere faith is for the family. I like this one, right? I think this identifies us as a community. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Before the service, I was praying with Tom Young, and I was thinking of Esther's parents, and I thought of Tom and Esther, and then a little Sam and Elizabeth. There's three generations before you, and you probably see that in this congregation and perhaps in your own family. Three generations. Sincere faith is for the family. There they are, the three. You say, well, where's Timothy's dad? I don't know. Most likely he was Gentile, and yet he's out of the picture. And then Paul even refers to him as his dear child. And so it's like faith-wise, you know, grandma and your mom were important, but also God has used me in your life to build you up in the faith. So sincere faith is grateful. Sincere faith is for the family. I guarantee you, when I'm long gone from Discovery Bay, or if I ever retire, which probably will happen one of these days, I'm going to remember families and fond memories of knowing you and your families. For some of you, it's difficult to know your families. Those of you who are separated from loved ones because of work and employment. But I've seen some of them, and I've met some of you, and great memories. Sincere faith is a gift that needs to be fanned. Now, what does this mean? For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And some versions read, in a sound mind and self-control. What is this all about? Sincere faith fans into flame. If you ever go on our church barbecues, oftentimes, if nobody brings the lighter started and all that kind of stuff, the liquid stuff, it's sometimes it's damp and it's hard to get the fire going. But when you get it going, you have to fan it with paper plates or something, a newspaper, to give it more oxygen, and that'll get the fire going and become strong. You and I have a spirit in us, and actually I think most commentators that I've read would like to see a capital S there. God gave us Holy Spirit when we came to faith. He dwells within you. He dwells within me. He never will leave you. He never will desert you. But we are commanded to walk with the Spirit, to not grieve the Spirit. We are asked to let the Spirit guide us and lead us. And here, he's saying fan into flame. Now, how do you know when you need to fan into flame something? Well, particularly if you start to get fearful, if you start to get anxious, something is controlling you where you think God has left you and he's just could care less about you. And so then your mind starts to wonder and thinks all kinds of things which aren't true. God is allowing you and I to go through all kinds of life experiences, and they're different, and sometimes it gets quite hard, and we'll look at that in a minute. But when you sense fear, that's when you need to fan into flame some faith. That's when you need to ask Holy Spirit to help you. When you feel powerless, when you feel like you don't have enough love in you to give that to your husband or to your wife or to your child, that's when you need to fan into flame. When you're having a problem with self-control, whatever it might be, you're thinking crazy stuff or you're doing crazy stuff and you want self-control in your life and you don't see it there, you need to be more disciplined in different areas, that's where you cry out, oh God, fan into flame this Holy Spirit's power in my life. So sincere faith is a gift that needs to be fanned. Oops, did I go too fast on that one? This thing is sensitive. Sincere faith is not ashamed to suffer for the gospel. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. Which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. So Timothy maybe has a personality where he gets a little intimidated by opposition. And he gets fearful, he gets anxious. And Paul's saying, hey, don't fan into flame the gift. And remember, you've got Holy Spirit in you. And God has set you aside. Before the world even was created, he had this plan and calling on your life. And get ready to suffer. Don't be afraid to suffer. Are you familiar with the word election in the theological sense? Not a political election, but in God's chosen people? Are you familiar with that word, election? Perhaps one of these days we'll get to the book of Ephesians. And we're talking about Ephesus right now, and Timothy is the pastor there, and we'll look at some of that, what it's, the book of Ephesians says about election. But basically, God has a plan, and nobody's going to get in his way to keep him from accomplishing his purposes. And his purposes is to call you and I to faith in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit working in us to decide. We exercise our free will, and we make a decision, but nothing can get in his way. And so with that in mind, Timothy, you got to understand, you know, if it comes along prison time, join in. Come on and suffer. Don't be afraid about it. I mean, the Christ, what did he do? He went to the cross. What did he do? He went to the grave. What did he do? He rose again, and he went on sin on high, and he said, believe in me, and I'm going to come take you to be with me. Okay? So don't worry, you know, if you got to go to prison, you can suffer. Do not be ashamed to suffer for the gospel. Oswald Chambers says, no healthy saint ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Paul did, whether it means suffering or not. So we're going to Chengdu, and from all intents and purposes, I hear it's pretty nice up there. The political climate, there's no real persecution going on there. I'm going to see if I can stir up some persecution. You know, man, it'd be nice to suffer for Christ. And I can remember the first time Hudson Taylor was in prison in Santau, right? When he was in prison there, he and his friend, they really burst out singing because they were kind of so lucky that they could suffer for Christ. They felt so joyful. They didn't go look for it. It just came to them. So no healthy saint ever chooses suffering, but he chooses God's will, and as Paul did. And it might sometimes mean suffering. It did for Paul. It meant the supreme sacrifice. I don't know if I need to aim this over towards me. Where's the receptor for this one? Is it on the side? Okay. Sorry, just a technical question. There we go. Sincere faith guards. Verse 12, continuing. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day, that's capital D, day, what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposited entrusted, the good deposit entrusted to you. So here are sincere faith guards. There's a couple of guarding going on. Christ is guarding you. He's keeping you. He's holding you, making sure you don't go off. Okay? You don't fall away. At the same time, we're exhorted to keep these sound words, the words of faith, to stay in the Word of God, to feast on it daily. Not because we search the Scriptures to find life in the Scriptures themselves, but the Scriptures take us to who? The living Word, the Lord Jesus. So we stay in His Word, and that takes us to relating to the living Word. Jesus said, I am the truth. We stay in the Word. And we guard the good deposit entrusted to us. We keep an eye on our heart. Is my heart really trusting in Christ's righteousness, His blood shed for me? Or is my heart trusting in how I do at keeping rules? How often do I read the Bible? How many prayers do I make? How many people do I tell about Jesus? How many times I go to church? How many times I go to meetings? And if I do all these things, then I must be a good person. No. That gets into legalism, so I got to watch out for that. On the other hand, I got to watch out for lawlessness. You know, oh, I'm saved by grace. It doesn't matter if I, you know, I drink a fifth of alcohol tonight and don't get up and go to work tomorrow. Christ will forgive me. My wife will understand. She'll understand you're an alcoholic. Okay, look, what we need to do is be self-controlled, godly in this present age while we wait for that glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? The gospel teaches us how to say no. Because I understand that Christ loved me, gave his life for me, and I can say no now. I do not have to be a lawless person. I can be self-controlled and upright and godly in this present life. Because I was called what? To be holy as God is holy. Separated unto him. My life is everything in Christ. It includes Sunday morning. It includes small groups. It includes how I do work for God's glory. It includes how I treat my neighbors. It includes everything. Sincere faith guards. Make sure it keeps looking at that. I'm guarding this. How I do life. Am I still Christ-centered? Sincere faith does not turn away. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are, guys, didn't you enjoy reading these names? Phygelus and Hermogenes. So these two guys, Phygelus is the Greek word for fugitive. Hermogenes is the son of Hermes or Mercury, the messenger of Zeus, a kind of a Greek mythology name. Can't see anything really, you know, underlying the meanings of their names. But these guys turned away. Can you imagine how I would feel if I got arrested in Chengdu and everybody else left me there? You know? And particularly if Dave's an elder, if he left, wouldn't help me out at all, and Gary So, you know, big missions leader, and they just turned around and left me. Well, this is what happened with Paul. Real people who he knew and who Timothy knew, they left me. They deserted me. But there's a good guy. Sincere faith refreshes. There's a good guy. He doesn't turn away. And this is this guy. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. And may the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. There's that big D again. That day, the judgment day. A day you and I cannot escape. No man who has lived in the past, present, or future can escape. They will bow their knee and they will claim him as Christ. They will welcome him as their Savior, or they're going to tremble, for they know what lies ahead. Is not eternal life in heaven, but eternal punishment in hell. That day, and you will know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. Remember, what's the name of that prison? Begins with an M. Mamertinum prison. Remember that place? Little hole in the ground? Okay, how many of you going on this Chengdu trip have never been to Chengdu? I've never been to Chengdu. Anybody else? Okay, anybody here never been to Chengdu? Okay, many of us. Could you imagine us going to this big metropolis and trying to find somebody in a hole in a prison? That'd take a little work. I mean, we got some apps we could Google and see where the prisons are located, you know, at least the ones that China government tells us about. We find out where they are and then we go. But this guy didn't have any Google and he goes to Rome. And you can imagine him. Looking and looking and looking and looking, they finally point over there, go down, you know, and in the hole there you'll find it. That is a friend. And so I bet he refreshed Paul in more ways than just bringing him some bread and water. Just the joy to see this guy. It sounds like the way the verses are read there, that he's died. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. The household. He's not talking about Onesiphorus right now because it seems like he's died. He arrived in Rome. He searched, but may the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. He's not praying for a dead person, but it would seem like he's just saying, you know, remember the Lord said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I think that's just the way he's remembering him. Yeah, there was these guys who deserted, you know, before Onesiphorus died, he was there, and he ministered to me. Sincere faith refreshes. And when you're down and out, and someone comes up to you and says, I'm praying for you. I'm with you on this. I won't desert you. I'll be here, be by your side. If you've never had the joy to visit someone in prison, I hope you can, and you'll understand what that's all about. Sincere faith refreshes. By the way, Paul had a few friends. Onesimus, he called my child. Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and soldier. There was Priscilla and Aquila. They risked their lives to help Paul. Tychicus was a beloved brother. Tertius was Paul's secretary. Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. And of course, there's Luke and Timothy. And Luke was there at the end for him as well. And my beloved child, Timothy. In Romans 16 ends, there's over 33 names. And 24 of them were in Rome. Now you got to remember, when Paul wrote this letter to Rome, he hadn't been there. He'd met these people, I guess, on his travels. And he's sending personal greetings. This guy is no theological in the tower sort of guru, PhD. No, he's a people person. And as one guy has put it, Brian Chappell says, people, relationships, friendships consume Paul. When you have a great relationship with Jesus Christ, you are going to be involved in loving people. Now, I have kind of an introverted personality. Believe it or not. I do. You know, I get refreshed by just watching football by myself. I don't need the crowd at McSorley's or wherever, you know, to watch a football match. I get charged up by going on a hike by myself. You know, it's that kind of thing. But as I draw closer to Christ, I know he's trying, you can't love me, James, and just ignore people. No. You got to get involved with people's life. And that's where I find fulfillment. So we might have different personality types, introverted, extroverted, that kind of thing. But we do put people first. So I was in the middle of sermon preparation yesterday, and someone calls me, and I was on the phone for an hour or so. That was okay. All right. People, relationship, friendships consume Paul. May that consume you and me. Even though it might not be our natural bent. So my question is, what consumes you? What really makes you tick? How important are people, relationships, and friendships to you? Do you have any friends who do not pretend about their faith in Christ? I put that in the negative because that's the way the original was. But do you have friends who are authentic Christians? Now, we all wear masks to certain degrees. You know, we don't want you to see all our warts and our sinfulness. So we all wear some little mask. But do you have friends that you really feel these are real Christians? These are the genuine artists. I hope you do. I hope you're finding them not too far from where you're sitting. How about you? How about me? Are you or am I a person who does not pretend? Is my faith, is your faith sincere? Okay. Well, how will we measure that? Well, am I Christ-centered? I try to use some personal examples from my life, the good things. I can use some bad things, bad examples too. But I don't want you to look at my life. I want you to look at Christ's life and count on Him, His righteousness, His blood shed for you. And then live a life of thanksgiving as unto Him, a life of devotion to Him. Whereas we sing, He is my King. follow the King now. But be Christ-centered. That's the type of life I want for you. How's your prayer life? Are you praying for people, particularly those of the faith, and being grateful for them, and being built up by them, but grateful to God? Yeah, we got a church directory. It can bring your little. It can be your little prayer book. You know, you can just use that to pray for people. And then if you run across, oh, who in the world is this family? Who are his children? Their children. What's your family's greatest value? Is it sincere faith? Mom and dad, you guys got a lot of little ones out there. It's back to school time, and then eventually, before you blink an eye, it's university days. And then it's graduation, and they're out of the nest. What do you want for your child? You want them to become successful and make money? That's not a bad desire. But I pray to God, as I prayed this morning, that you will want them to know Jesus. That the most important thing is that they will know He is truth. He is the way. He is the life. Through Him alone comes mercy and grace and peace and satisfaction while they're on this planet. It matters not what school they go to or what degree they earn or how much a salary they make later on. What does matter is that they have a relationship with the living God forever and ever and ever. Is sincere faith your family's, my family's greatest value? To fan or not to fan? That is a question. Are you fearful, anxious? I don't know what's going on in your heart and your life. I was in North Carolina. I was trying to figure out cars and retirement and where I live and all this thing a few years from now. It's a few years off, but I'm just trying to plan ahead, right? there's enough trouble for today. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. How are we going to advance the gospel in Discovery Bay? How are we going to advance the gospel in Chengdu? How are we going to relate to these kids, at lunchtime? Will I remember their names? I don't know. I start getting anxious. Just rest. Fan into flame. God, you've let this happen. You've allowed these people to come into my life, and some of them might be troublemakers. Some of them might be people who are in great need, but you've allowed them to come in. Somehow together, we're going to see you work and bring healing. Your family's greatest value is faith, but yours, James, you, my friend, fan into flame. If you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling fearful, if you're feeling helpless, powerless, if you need self-control, the Holy Spirit in your life to give you more self-control, fan into flame. Fan it in the front. Ashamed to suffer for the gospel. You're not ashamed to suffer for the gospel. Now, sometimes we suffer for the wrong reasons. We make bad choices, bad decisions. But for the gospel. No, I don't mind telling other people about Jesus. They may laugh at me. But I'm not ashamed to suffer wherever it takes me, because I know God is in control of this universe. And even if I have to be like Paul and be executed, I don't have to worry about it. The end is going to still be great. I'm not ashamed to suffer. You do not turn away, but refresh your friends who do suffer. So if you have friends who are going through rejections, perhaps some family members do not approve of them attending church. I have one friend here. This individual has attended our church, and their spouse is not so happy about it. So they can't freely come. I don't just turn my back on that individual as someone, just forget about it. No, we seek to refresh them, encourage them. So don't turn your way from, but refresh your friends who do suffer. Brother Yun of China fame, who was arrested many times for the gospel's sake, I think he still does encourage gifts to help families who have been in prison. So if Tom was a minister in China and got arrested and put in prison, his family then become destitute because nobody will have anything to do with this, particularly the government assistance. There will be no more government assistance. It will be cut off, and it's very hard for the families to survive. And so Brother Yun has even helped in raising funds from the Western Church to help these families in China whose husbands are, or in some instances, wives are in prison. If you'd like to know more about that, I think Mina and Robbie can tell you a little bit about that. Do not turn away, but refresh your friends who suffer. You got anybody like that? I can't think of anyone right now that I know of, except for that one person. Let's pray. Father, I think that when we all look at this through the lens of sincere faith, we begin to question, do I really have a sincere faith? I know I ask myself that, and I can imagine some of my friends here this morning are doing the same. Father, I just pray that you would have mercy on us, mercy on me, and make us a people who are so Christ-centered that we are not ashamed to speak of him, whether we're in school, in the workplace, whether we're out hanging out with friends, doing sports activities or hobbies, shopping, wherever we're going, that we will not be ashamed to speak of Christ. Father, forgive us. We think that we don't need mercy or grace or peace. We got it all knocked. We can do it on our own, and that's not all rock and roll. We need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. And so I pray for my friends this morning, as I pray for myself. Fill us with Holy Spirit. Make us a people who are authentic, a people of sincere faith. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.